Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, my next guest is a Munster rugby legend and has made a fantastic contribution to Irish rugby. Since retiring in June, he's been busy finding himself in the business world. It's great to welcome Simon Zeebo to the show.
Thank you so
much. Simon, you're most welcome.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Now, you came all the way up from Cork on the train this morning. We appreciate that. You're known for your infectious laugh. Give us a laugh there. Yeah, I do. So I want to know from that, I like somebody who's up for a laugh. You had a lot of fun over the years, hadn't you?
I sure did.
Yeah. Yep. And how important is it maybe not to take yourself so seriously and to have a bit of banter and a bit of crack along with doing the serious business of playing the game and winning matches?
Yeah, I found it very important for me anyway, personally, to, you know, express myself and be myself, which was showing my personality and having a laugh and a joke. And it definitely helped me play in front of, you know, the big pressure games or in front of huge crowds.
Did it get you into trouble?
At times, yeah. Plenty of trouble at times. But we were able to navigate our way through that.
Okay. Well, I think, you know, and that's one of the things I love about you is you're an individual and you're your own man, because I think it's important in life, you know, that we stand out for what we are.
Thank you so much.
Age 34, 35 caps for Ireland.
Yeah.
Some would say, including myself and probably yourself, it should have been more. Mm-hmm. Do you still say that?
Not too much. Now, when my children ask, I might say I have 60 or 70 caps. But it's something, it's a decision, you know, that I was, it was a tricky decision at the time, you know, leaving international rugby behind to go play in France. But some of the best years of my career were spent in France.
How many years were you in France all up?
3 years.
Yeah,
probably.
And was it a big shock to go there? Did you find the transition difficult?
Initially, it was odd, you know, not so much the lifestyle side of things, but getting used to the French players and their habits and their
ways.
Their ways around the training field and around lunchtime and party time. Even it's all very different. So adjusting to that was an interesting time.
So the decision was to retire, you said you were influenced by a piece of advice that Dougie Howlett once gave you. Did you really look up to him?
I looked up to Dougie massively, I played with him. I was lucky enough to play with him for a couple of years at the end of his career with Munster. But one of the few players that I had posters of in my room growing up as a kid. And he was a role model on and off the pitch. So I have a lot of respect and love for Dougie,
So, and about retirement then, when do you know it's time to go? And I presume everybody has their own way of coming to the place. But when did you know that does the body just start to give in? It just isn't as nimble as it used to be.
Absolutely. And I suppose once the training sessions start to become like matches in terms of physicality, and I was going out to training on a Tuesday or a Thursday and coming off and needing to recover as if it was an 80-minute match. So that's one telling sign. And another, I suppose, is for me personally, I wanted to still be playing well while I finished, you know, and that was important. I didn't want to just fade out and be a shell.
Go out in a high note.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to be a shell of the player you once were. So I thought I called it at the right time, just before the wheels completely fell off.
One of the things which I think you describe, and very aptly, that it's a privilege to play at the level that you've played at when your kids are old enough to actually understand what daddy does for a living. Tell me more about that, because a lot of players don't get to experience that.
Yeah, that it started by, I suppose, 2015 when my son Jacob was born, and we were able to, you know, take him a year or so later into change rooms and stuff, and, you know, be that feed off that family environment at matches or at training, and just having your children present was huge. And then the more children that came, and the older they got, the more, I suppose, appreciative they were of their dad's job, and their buddies would start asking them questions about what your dad or your mom does for work. And then they're coming to matches and in the change room and interacting with players, and you see the joy it brings them. And that's like the pinnacle. You know, I'm a big family. I was a big family man. I was raised with a lot of family values, and being able to experience that with my children of age and present was...
So when you see them in Thomond Park and the crowd are roaring your name, it's a kind of a nice feeling.
Yeah.
And you know they're there to hear it.
Yeah, exactly. Before my children were born, it would have been a selfish kind of ego in the middle of the pitch. Like, yeah, come on. But then once I've had children, it was an amazing feeling, but primarily thinking about them and how they're feeling while there's some Zeebo chants were going around Thomond or Aviva or wherever. So it's cool.
So, next phase, we got to talk business.
Yes.
Whiskey is the business of choice. Mm-hmm. You're involved with Ernest Cantillon, again, a noted F&B man in Cork. Mm. Did I understand that your father had a whiskey collection? Is that where the initial interest came from?
That's where the initial interest came from.
It's always good to start with the consumption.
It is. Yeah. My first drink was a drop of Irish whiskey. My first ever alcoholic drink with my father was a drop of Irish whiskey. And I won't say what age. I was about 18 or 19. My dad had one of the biggest Irish whiskey collections in Ireland. He was on the TV show back in the day, Nationwide, with his late, great best friend, Liam O'Reilly.
Are you serious?
Yeah. What? And he was into single malts, his single grains, everything and anything. Whiskey was the drink of choice at home. So I was growing up, I was reared on it, and... his buddies would have on the weekends would be calling over to the house to share a dram and have a chat and this and that.
Tastings and all. So exactly, they were serious whiskey guys.
Serious whiskey guys.
That's amazing.
So, it's always been there. So it's funny how it's come full circle. And
so then Black Emerald, tell us a little bit about it and what the plans are for it.
Yeah, it's a hugely exciting project. We're taking on investment at the moment, you know, and Irish investors are privy to EIS, the scheme. And
do I need to take out my checkbook?
You might want to. But it's, we've had a huge amount of hype and interest already, and the brand is growing massively, and we are going in selling in Ireland, the UK and South Africa.
Is it an export play primarily?
No, both. We're proud and very proud to sell here and in the UK. And we go to South Africa, Nigeria. My uncle-in-law is Nigerian. I have plenty of family in South Africa and friends and some states in the US as well. So it's going to it's heating up, I suppose, and we've had a lot of interest, and it's the final push now, I suppose, before we launch in March.
Okay.
So we'll have a 15-year-old cognac barrel finish and a 7-year-old rum finish, which both whiskies were brought to my wedding, which we had recently, and the 7-year-old was a big hit. With
I wanted to ask you that because you got married twice the same lucky lady.
For my sins.
How did that come about? Was that the COVID restrictions?
Yeah.
And then you needed to go again and have a real party.
Yeah, we got engaged in Paris during COVID, or just before.
Very romantic.
COVID. Yeah, I was living there and playing there at the time, and I said, this is a good excuse to do it here. And then by the time I came back from Paris, we had a quiet family wedding in Sheen Falls in Kerry. But we needed to celebrate properly with friends. And
proper bash.
Black Emerald was very in the middle of it over in Spain. Yeah, so it was good.
So the Black Emerald went down at the party.
It did.
Can I ask you this, Simon, in terms of the transition from rugby now to business? I know you're going to be doing a bit of punditry in that. So it's probably not any one thing, but you'll be involved in a few things. How were you prepared for that? How did the IRFU, or is there a program that gets you ready for life after rugby?
There is, The IRFU are very, very good with looking after current and past players. They make sure if you want to go back to college to do studies, or if you need any mentorship from people or sponsors in the IRFU, they make sure you're well looked after. But it's down to you as well at the same time to you'd be encouraged to network and, you know, show your value through different ways. Yeah.
Yeah. And would you, obviously, as you go on in your career, your focus on post rugby probably becomes more, you know, and again, as a man with four young kids, you got to be thinking about life post rugby. So are you excited about it?
Hugely excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I'm very competitive as well. So going into the business world, albeit a newbie, but hugely competitive. I have a drive to go after things. That's why I never really invested or did too many business things outside of rugby while I was playing, because it's either all or nothing.
Yeah.
You know, you're going after something, then you have to be 100% in it. So the family have ties to whiskey. I've grown up around it, and I was hugely excited at the prospect of getting into what is a booming and growing market. So yeah, it's very exciting times, and we've got a bit of a dream team assembled in Black Emerald. So it's great to be a part of. Yeah.
So when will Ronan O'Gara be starting as coach for Leinster? Do you see that coming anytime soon?
I've heard you're a big Leinster fan. I'm actually sick of them, but I don't think.
No, I'm not one of those D4 guys now.
Yeah,
like
good
that.
On you. Good on you. I know where they frequent, down the bridge, isn't it? Jamie's pub. But no, I don't see that happening. If there was a province we know, it'd be down south. It would be Red. It'd be Munster, Roger Gota.
All right. Well, look, it's a great pleasure to talk to you this morning, Simon.
Thank you so much.
As I say, you've done the state some service. Congratulations on all you've achieved, and every success to you in the whiskey business.
Thank you so much, sir.
Simon Zeebo, ladies and gentlemen.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.